The life of Gustavus Adolphus. How Gustavus Adolphus reinvented warfare. There's a particular kind of problem, and there's no real good solution within the existing system. You can refine, adjust, and improve what already exists, but the fundamental constraints remain, and the results reflect those constraints. The military world that Gustavus Adolphus inherited in 1611 was exactly that kind of problem. The armies of Europe in the early 17th century were built on assumptions that they had governed warfare for generations, and those assumptions were becoming dangerously outdated. Weapons were changing. The battlefield was changing. The kind of force that could win wars in 1611 looked nothing like the force that won wars a century earlier, and most of Europe's rulers had not yet fully reckoned with the reality. Gustavus reckoned with it completely. What he produced over the following years was not a reformed version of the old military model. It was something genuinely new, a way of organizing, training, equipping, and deploying troops that broke from the inherited assumptions of medieval warfare and replaced them with principles that would shape military thinking for the next 200 years. The fact that he did this while simultaneously managing three active conflicts, rebuilding Sweden's finances, and reforming its government is a measure of the kind of mind he possessed. Most rulers in his position would have been fully absorbed by the immediate crisis. Gustavus treated the immediate crisis as the reason to think more deeply and build more carefully. The military revolution he engineered had several distinct components. There was the question of how to organize and recruit soldiers, a problem that touched on administration, religion, and the structure of Swedish society. There was a question of how to train and standardize a force drawn from across a geographically dispersed country. There was the problem of artillery, which was the most powerful weapon of the era, but also in its existing form, one of the least flexible. And there was the larger question of tactics, of how all the separate elements of an army could be made to work together as a single coherent system, rather than as a collection of independent components that happened to share the same battlefield. Each of these problems required a different kind of thinking. Gustavus Adolphus addressed all of them. The result was an army unlike anything Europe had seen before, one that would eventually demonstrate its capabilities on battlefields from Pomerania to Bavaria, and whose innovations would be studied, copied, and refined by generations of commanders long after the man who invented them was dead. So let's first of all look at the dying model of medieval warfare. To understand what Gustavus built, it's necessary to understand what he was building against. The military systems of medieval Europe had evolved over centuries in response to specific conditions of medieval warfare. By the early 17th century, those conditions had changed enough that the old system was struggling to keep pace. The fundamental economic reality of medieval organization was that the standing armies were considered too expensive to maintain in peacetime. Keeping trained troops on a payroll year-round, feeding and equipping them, paying them, even when there was no fighting to be done, was a financial burden that most medieval rulers were unwilling or unable to bear. The solution they had settled on was to disband military forces when they were not needed and reconstitute them when war broke out. The practical consequence of this approach was that the bulk of any medieval army was made up of men who were pulled out of their normal, ordinary lives, handed weapons they had limited experience with, given minimal training, and sent to the battlefield. These conscripted peasants were not soldiers in any meaningful professional sense. They were civilians in arms. Their effectiveness reflected that reality. They could be useful in sufficient numbers, particularly in defensive situations, or when the outcome of a battle had already been largely decided by other factors. But they were not a reliable instrument of offensive military power, and they easily broke under pressure from more experienced opponents. The only genuinely professional soldiers in the medieval armies were the knights. These were wealthy men from the nobility who spent years training for combat, who could afford the expensive plate armor and war horses that defined their fighting role, and who understood warfare as a craft and a vocation, rather than an unwanted interruption to their normal lives. Knights represented the peak of medieval military capability, and the entire tactical system of medieval warfare was built around them. The problem with the knight's dominance was already ending by the time Gustavus came to the throne. The musket was the weapon that changed everything. Firearms had been present on battlefields in Europe for more than a century by 1611, but the musket had become accurate and reliable enough by the early 17th century to fundamentally alter the calculations of infantry combat. A trained musketeer could kill an armored knight from a distance that the knight could not easily close before the musketeer reloaded or was replaced by another. The expensive plate armor that had once made knights nearly invulnerable became, against musket fire, a heavy inconvenience rather than effective protection. The military implications of the shift were enormous. If cavalry and heavy armor was no longer the dominant force on the battlefield, then the entire tactical and organizational framework built around that dominance needed to be reconsidered. The role of infantry changed. The role of artillery changed. The relationship between different types of soldiers needed to be rethought. Most European rulers of the period understood something that was changing, but not yet worked out a comprehensive response. Gustavus Adolphus worked it out, and the system he developed was coherent, practical, and incredibly effective. The starting point was not tactics, but organization. Before Gustavus could think about how his soldiers would fight, he needed to think about where they would come from, how they would be recruited, how they would be maintained as a reliable force across peacetime and wartime alike. The solution he found was as innovative as anything he did on the battlefield, and it drew on an institution that was present in every corner of Swedish life, and that will be the church. And so that's where we will pick up next time. The sources for this are Gustavus Adolphus versus Wallenstein by Pike, Gustav Adolphus, Sweden and the 30 Years' War, 1630-32, by Volk, The Lion of the North by Henty, Gustav Adolphus the Great by Onlund, and Gustav Adolphus and the Rise of Sweden by Roberts, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 1, Infantry, by Brzezinski. Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 2, Cavalry, by Brzezinski. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.